I'll be with you in just a minute. I'm just waiting for my vacation to get over. One more minute. Yeah, I know. It has been over. Hit the ground running. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And it is good to be back. I did enjoy my time off, but it is really good to be back with my Glenshaw Valley family and to see all of you here this morning. At this time, you'll take your red pad and you'll sign it down. Pass it down, sign it with your name, address, telephone number, email address, that type of information. We would love to have it from you. So we can send you email things about prayers, people in hospitals, different prayer requests and different things that might be going on in the church that we did not announce on Sunday. It might be last minute things to remind you about. And we are respectfully requesting that food or beverages be brought into the sanctuary, with exception of those with a metal condition or contained beverages for small children in, you know, like sippy cups or bottles or those type things. We want to welcome Debbie back with us again, and she does such a wonderful job for us. And also you can read about her son Daniel, who's taking up books for children in West Virginia. And I believe the box is it still out there?
Yeah, he's finished collecting.
He's finished collecting. That is over, but he was doing it, and we thank you if you were able to give any books for that. If you've got a message you would like to give to me on Join the Church or anything, you can sign the I Wish card. I'm required to read this notice. Notice is hereby given that there will be a meeting of the Congregation and Corporation of Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church on Sunday, September 18th, 2011, immediately following the worship service. The purpose of the meeting is to present a proposal to move to a unicameral form of government. For those of you who might not be familiar with that term, it is to combine our trustees and our session into one board, and we think it'll make it much more efficient. Now, there are proposals on the back of the table, and then during that meeting, we will do our best to explain it to you. And then later, we'll be writing new bylaws because of the new form of government that we have in our church. We're taking things step by step, so I hope that you'll really be in prayer about this. This is something that has been discussed at Glenshaw Valley for many years, and this is not something just that Glenshaw Valley is doing, but many other Presbyterian churches are doing. And in the original Presbyterian government, the session members are the trustees, unless a separate board is set up. The Women's Association is asking for extra help to clean up and serve for the luncheon. That'll be on September the 15th, and you can call Linda or Clara, or if you'd like to make a reservation to eat, you can call. And the luncheons this year are $8. They went up only 50 cents, and believe me, it is well worth it. It says Presbytery meets at 10 this Friday at September 9th, but I just got a letter this morning says it is September the 15th, the same day as the luncheon, so I've got to talk to session about what to do. And you can read about Suzanne and the flowers. Rally Day is next Sunday, September the 11th. Hope you'll come out and join us at 9:30 for breakfast and breads and coffee and juices. Adults and children will have a good time. Deacons are holding the annual pig roast raffle on September the 25th, and their Chinese auction. That is always a really good time for us. And please feel free to invite friends. It's a very good day to invite guests to the church as we feed them for free and then have a good time with the Chinese auction. And if you want to hear the sermons, not just mine, but other guest speakers, the deacons, along with Cliff Huff, are putting it on the internet. So you can go to glenshawvalley.church.org, and on the left, you click on media, then you can go click on the sermon that you want to hear, and you can do so. Choir rehearsal resumes Thursday evening, September the 8th at 7:30. Anyone interested in joining the choir for the fall season is asked to contact Mickey before September the 8th, and her number should be in the phone book. If you don't have it, call the church or contact me. We'll make sure that you do get in contact with her. Are there any other announcements that need to be made? Michelle?
Just to add on the congregational meeting, if you have any questions prior to the meeting,
Yeah, please feel free to call a session member. If you call one session member and you're not satisfied with the answer that you get, call another one. We're still working through this process ourselves, but we hope we have good answers for you.
I just wanted to say that Beth and I are celebrating our 57th anniversary.
Let's get it right now. 57th anniversary. And what is the actual date? Maybe I better ask Bev.
What's that?
What is the actual date of your anniversary?
September 4th.
Today. Oh, it's actually today. Hallelujah. Congratulations. That's a wonderful thing. 57 years.
Man. Long time.
Yes. I hear you. Shawnee? Youth kickoff is next Sunday at 6 o'clock. It's the kickoff for the youth entering grade 6 through 12. So that opens it up for some new ones. I see some hands going up, and they're going to have a good time, and we're excited about that. And so invite a friend to come along, too. It's not just for our church members. Jenny? Okay, if you want to donate something for the Chinese basket, and they can donate an item or they can make a whole basket, right?
Absolutely.
I remember doing that one year. I put a little basket together. It was a women's household repair with, instead of a big hammer, it was a small hammer, a tape measure, a shirt, and all kind of things. It was something different. So you can be very inventive and come up with something. And Jim Teague had given me one of his Homecrafter t-shirts, and the woman who got it just loved it. So be creative. You can put one together. Yes. Okay, that's Linda who's talking. If you didn't see, you can talk to her. Red shirt, white.
Me.
See her? You look at her? Once you know her, you'll never forget her. And that is different for this year. It's been just pies before, so it's now cakes and cookies. So that opens up for some of you ladies. Some don't like baking pies, so you can bake a cake or cookies, so that's great.
And
yeah, and that's very important. You may be able to work one Thursday, you're not able to do the other one, so come down, let her know, so she can put her schedule together, who she's got as a team. Yes. Thank you. Daughter is here, and husband, we welcome them from Chicago. As long as they're not Bears fans, they're welcome. just kidding. We like to beat all teams. behave. Any other announcements? Clara is babysitting this morning, and we are looking for a nursery worker, and we are going to need people until we do that to help us fill in as nursery workers. Thank you for reminding me of that. Any other announcements? Kind of taking a long time today, but I've been gone for a few weeks. I need someone to help me with a visual announcement. I need a couple who is not married. Mike, you and Lynn, come help me. If you don't mind. See, I'll just stand here or come up here, whichever you're more comfortable doing. Kind of face each other, I guess. Well, however you want to do it. Okay.
This is actually a trick to get her up here. I've got two announcements. My son's visiting from Tucson. So that, second announcement, I have to consult with her first. She said yes.
You can kill me later, Lynn.
She said yes.
I made Mike promise me she'd say yes before I let him do this. Any other announcements before we go? Okay. This is the day that the Lord hath made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Opening hymn of praise for this morning is number 10, O Worship the King. Let our worship continue with the prayer of confession as you find printed within your bulletin. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for the love you have for each of us. We worship you, a God who desires the best for us. Forgive us when we choose to live in fear. Help us to understand what a powerful negative force fear is in our lives. Show us how we can find courage as individuals and as a church to move forward. Remind us that you are always there to take our hands and give us comfort in times of anxiety and crisis. May we learn to ride out the storms of life with a sense of assurance. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us take a moment as we bow our heads and close our eyes for your personal, silent prayer of confession. Friends, believe in the good news of the gospel, for in Jesus Christ we are forgiven.
Thank you.
Let us, with a sense of unity, here at Glenshaw Valley, recite our traditional Apostles' Creed. I believe
God the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and stood upon the right hand God, the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Let's take a moment and greet one another. Persons here, you don't know their name, make sure. Leave the aisle, find out their name, learn their name, especially visitors. Get out of your comfort zone. Thank you. Our responsive reading is Faith on 662. Faith 662. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand by which is by the seashore. It was he to whom it was said, "And Isaac, your descendants shall be called." I'd like to open up this portion of the service with a pastoral prayer and invite you to submit any prayer requests. Our first will be for Mike and Lynn and the wonderful news today, and also for the McFadden family, and also for the Hundemark family, former members in our church. And I posted Ernie's picture at the back. His son David has cerebral palsy, printed that out, and I promised him I would put it at the back of the church. Even though the service is over, some of you may not know Mr. McFadden, so you can see his photo, know who we're talking about. Anyone else? Let's pray about the congregational meeting that is coming up, and the rally day, and all the activities that are coming up in the fall for our church, for success with the women's luncheon and everything that we're trying to do. For his brother who's battling cancer. Anyone else? Young woman named Lynn with breast cancer. Thank you. Let's also even though it's listed Megan Nelson, who had gallbladder surgery. She is home resting, and she can take phone calls. If you'd like to call or send her a card, it'd be very nice to do so. Brother who's in Montefiore Hospital, let's be in prayer for him. Anyone else? Roman?
I just want to thank God that I'm going to tell him. Okay.
Thank you. From her two back surgeries, thankful she's doing so well. Anyone else? Yes.
My best friend back home is Jamie.
Man fell asleep. Killed her best friend's cousin. Tragic. Let's be in prayer for all families involved. Anyone else?
My boss's son is going over to Afghanistan
sometime. Boss's son going to Afghanistan sometime this month. Okay. And Verna told me her son may be going overseas for his job. Let's be in prayer about that. Okay, let's go to the Lord. I'll lead you into the Lord's Prayer. In our Presbyterian tradition, we say debts and debtors instead of trespasses. Heavenly Father, we come to you on this weekend, and we thank you for being a part of our lives, being there with us every day, every moment, when things are running smoothly in our lives, and also when the storms of life assail us and buffet us and toss us about, and we often don't know which way to turn, which way to look, what to do. We feel like there, at times, is no answer and no help, but remind us that you are there for us to reach out our hand, and you will take us and you will help guide us. And to look to our church and our church friends for support, to pray, to look into our Bibles and Bible studies and fellowship and, of course, worship. Remind us you're a God who loves us and desires the best for each of us in our lives. Doesn't mean we won't have times of trial and tribulation, because we often grow through that. But help us to grow stronger, not weaker. May our faith be even better, not dashed upon the rocks. We lift everything that we mentioned this morning, that is listed in our bulletin, that was spoken out, that was thought of silently, that is in our Valley newsletter. We pray that you meet the needs according to your will and your glory, your grace and your love and your might. Let us feel your presence, not just today in worship, but every day of our lives. And remind us to take the time to go to you in prayer. And then just sit for a little while and listen for your still small voice to speak to us. Lord, we thank you that you came into our lives and you left us with this prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our hymn of preparation, which normally, and we'll get back to having our screen songs next week, but I chose this morning, He Lives, number 220. And I actually had a different song chosen for the last song, but we'll go ahead and stick with that since it's fine. But I had chosen Majesty. Number 220, He Lives. Let's bow for prayer of thanksgiving. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, for every day that you have given us to live and breathe and to work for you, for your glory, to minister for your kingdom. Help us to use the talents that we have for your glory and not for ourselves, to build up your church that others can find the name of Jesus and find salvation and eternal life and the peace that passes all understanding. Lord, thank you for blessing us. Be a blessing back unto this congregation as individuals and as the collective church. Thank you, Lord. We love you and thank you for loving us back. In the precious name of Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our friend. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Bill Mueller's coming forward to read. Did you do any reading while I was gone?
No. I was on vacation.
Good. Well, we all need a little break. Take her away.
I want to welcome you back.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord that you had a good, restful vacation and that you're full of zeal to lead us spiritually.
Thank you.
Good morning, Church of Glenshaw. How are you? Had a good summer?
Yeah.
Too bad it's over, huh? Our scripture today is Jesus walking on the water. It immediately follows Jesus feeding the 5,000. It talks about faith. And having faith means that you love Jesus with all your heart, mind, and soul, that you have a trusting and lasting relationship with him. In our scripture, Peter went out to Jesus in faith, but when his mind began to see the waters and the winds churning around him, he started thinking about those, and he lost his concentration and began to sink. And then he cried out for Jesus, and Jesus reached out and saved him. Note also that when Christ enters your life or enters your boat, even though the waters may be rough around you, it offers a calm and soothing area to live in. So listen to the scripture, Matthew 14:22 through 33. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into a boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. Later that night, he was there alone, and the boat was already a considerable distance from the land, buffeted by the waves because of the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Jesus got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink, crying out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why do you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." Bless the reading of our scripture.
Thank you, Bill. Just this morning, I turned on the television, which I don't always do on Sunday morning, but I wanted to find out if my Carolina Gamecocks had won the game, because it looked like they weren't going to. They were playing East Carolina, and at one time it was East Carolina 21, Carolina Gamecocks 0, I think, or somewhere thereabout, and Carolina's ranked number 12 in the nation. I said, well, here we go again. We finally get a national ranking, and we're going to blow it at the beginning. So it ended up, though, Carolina won like 49 to 36 or something like that, so I was happy. But they had a sports announcer talking about sports and how it affects people around, can get our minds off of our troubles for a little bit. And the sports announcer, after Hurricane Katrina, talked to this lady who was 106 years old. Her daughter was 87, and they were there with five generations of these people. Can you imagine that? And he asked her about the hurricane and how they're going to survive and all these heavy questions. And her answer as she looked at him was simply, God is good. And the 87-year-old daughter said, this is the philosophy that our mother has passed down to us. This is how we get through life, understanding that God is good. God is going to be there to help us, regardless of the tragedy, regardless of the circumstances that come against us, that happen in our lives. God is good. But have you ever noticed in life that so many people allow fear to overcome them and allow them to do really stupid things in their life? There was a man who lived in Serbia named Lucas, and he heard about a giant tsunami coming to the Indian Ocean a couple of years ago. He's 30 years old, and it's being announced on the television. So what does he do? He jumps out of his window, second story, breaks both legs, ruptures his spine, all because of fear of a tsunami he sees on television. It's never, ever going to touch him, never going to affect his life. And he realizes that when he's out of the window, too late to avoid the impact. You know, I've heard things on TV, especially over the last year or two, that make me feel like jumping out of a window, and I'm sure you have too, but I've not done it yet. Historians tell us that King Charles VIII of France ascended to the throne in 1483 because he became paranoid that someone was trying to poison his food. And it did happen back in those kingship days in that time. But as a result, he began to eat less and less food. Tragically, the less he ate, the more suspicious he became, and he finally died in 1498. Not from poisoning, but he died from malnutrition. He allowed fear to dictate his life to the point that he did not eat enough food. And this is the king who had all the food in the world at his disposal. Many years ago, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale told about a young woman who allowed her life to be destroyed by fears. At the time, this woman was a world-class tennis star. However, as a small girl 30 years back, she had watched in terror as her mother had died of a heart attack while being treated by a dentist. Traumatic experience so profoundly affected her that she refused to go to a dentist her entire life. But it got to the point that she couldn't stay away anymore. Because of the pain and the rotting of her teeth, she just literally had to go. There was no option left. So she said, well, if I've got to go, I'm taking my physician with me. She got into the dentist chair, but it was all to no avail. Just as her mother had died of a heart attack in the dentist chair, she became so frightened, she died of a heart attack 30 years later in the dentist chair herself. The London newspaper, which reported the story, headlined it with the words, killed by 30 years of thought. 30 years of fear, 30 years of negative thought had done her in. Fear is a powerful force in our lives. The Sunday supplement magazine USA Weekend ran a cover story sometimes back titled Fear, What Americans Are Afraid Of Today. In a scientific poll, the magazine uncovered the things Americans fear most. Now, this isn't all of them because fear of death and fear of public speaking are still up there. But this is a new one, and this is just some of the things as I show you and see if you can relate to any of these. 54% are afraid of, or very afraid of, being in a car crash. 53% are afraid or very afraid of having cancer. 50% are afraid or very afraid of inadequate Social Security. Hear it on TV about every day. 49% are afraid or very afraid of not having enough money for retirement. Bombarded with it on television. 39% are afraid or very afraid of getting Alzheimer's. 33% are afraid or very afraid of being a victim of individual violence. 32% are afraid or very afraid of being unable to pay current debts. Some of these are because things going on in our lives. Some of it is because I think we have 24-hour news service on our cars and in our homes, and we just are inundated with this all the time, and we don't allow ourselves to get away from it. But fear is a powerful, powerful force in our lives, particularly as we continue to struggle to overcome a steep economic downturn, and as many of us struggle with the difficulties of aging. That is why today's lessons from Matthew's gospel is so very important to us. In the story we dealt with earlier this summer, Jesus had fed 5,000 men and women and their wives and their children with five small loaves of bread and two fish. Now the master needs some time alone. He sends the crowd home and the disciples out into a boat on the Sea of Galilee while he goes up on a mountain to pray. The Sea of Galilee is a large body of water, 8 miles wide by 13 miles long, especially large to be somewhere like in Israel. Of the 12 disciples, Peter, Andrew, James, and John are all fishermen. They know the Sea of Galilee very well, and they know that this time of year, probably around mid-spring, that the Sea of Galilee is very susceptible to storms and strong winds and high waves coming up at any moment. Maybe that is why Matthew tells us that Jesus made them get into the boat. He didn't say, "Would you like to get in the boat?" He said, "Get into the boat." And he goes up into the mountain to pray. It's almost kind of like he sends them out into this storm, and he goes up into the mountains to safety. The boat was a considerable distance from land, was being buffeted by these waves. Even these fishermen know that they are in a dangerous situation. They understand it better than some people because they're used to the water. Disciples already being uneasy in the storm, knowing that a small boat can capsize. They could drown. Now when they see Jesus walking on the lake, how terrified are they? They've never seen anything like that. And they cry out in fear. It's a ghost. Think about it. What would you do? I mean, we've read this story so often, we don't really think about it. But think about it for a moment. Jesus is walking on the water, not a calm, smooth lake, but one with storms. The winds are blowing. The waves are buffeting. Before I left Myrtle Beach, the winds were calm. The waves were calm. But as I was leaving, hurricane coming in. The waves are buffeting, and there's only about this much beach to walk on. Waves are pounding the shore. It's a powerful, powerful force. But Jesus immediately says to them, "Take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid." And that's what Christ says to us today. Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. In the face of difficult economic times, in the face of declining health, in the face of concerns about a loved one dealing with an illness, or a teenager that you're having troubles with, or difficulty in your place of employment, or worried about losing a job, or your health benefits, or your 401, whatever it might be that you're going through, Christ says, "I'm there with you. I'm walking every step of the way with you. I'm walking towards you. I'm with you in the hurricanes. I'm with you in the earthquakes. I'm with you in the storms of this life." When I was in Myrtle Beach when Hurricane Irene was hitting, it was not my first hurricane. I'm from South Carolina. ridden out hurricanes before, some right on the beach, third row of the beach. That's why he threw hurricane parties. Well, back then, not now. But you could tell the newbies. Went to the grocery store, got some water, got some bread. I needed it anyway. My dad went and got some. My sister went and got some. But you could tell the people who were fearful. You could see it in their eyes. And you could see it in their shopping carts, their buggies. 12 things of water. Batteries piled up, bread piled up. You thought they were getting ready for the end of the world and they were going into a bunker not to come out for 2 years. They begin to hoard. They panic. They fear. Not sure if this is their first one. Just moved down from New York or Pittsburgh and, you know, they were going to go retire and all of a sudden here comes their first hurricane. Panic sets in. Fear sets in. And it motivates them. And what do? I'm going to get mine and I don't care if anyone else gets theirs. I'm going first. I'm going to get it. And they try to control the situation that is really not controllable. So fear causes people to be selfish. Fear causes people to be irrational. Fear causes people all the time to be mean-spirited. Jesus says, don't be afraid. Christ is with you just as long as it was, just as he was with his disciples on the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus says, take courage, it is I, do not be afraid. Then in the midst of this inspiring story, Peter provides us with a comic relief as only Peter can do. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come and I'll walk on the water. So what does Peter do? I mean, I got to give him some credit. He does more than I would do in that storm. He gets out of the boat and he takes a step. He begins to walk on the water. He has the faith enough to do that. That's faith, my friends, to step out of the boat and walk on water, and you're not Jesus. But then what does he do? He takes his eyes off of Jesus. And he looks at the surroundings. Uh-oh, the wind's blowing. The waves are coming. This is not sand. This is water. Am I nuts? And he begins to sink. He discovered very quickly that he wasn't Jesus. And he was focusing on the situation and not on the Savior. He was afraid and he began to sink. And immediately, says the author Matthew, Jesus reached out his hand and he called him and says, why did you doubt? You of little faith, you of little faith, why did you doubt? The worst thing we can do in the storm is to let go of our faith. And it's often the first thing we want to do is let go of our faith and run for shelter. That's the most important thing we need to see. If we let go of our faith, we'll surely sink every time. However, if we will just hold on to our faith and look up to Christ's hands reaching out to us, we can make it through any storm in life. Kind of a heavy story here, but I want to share it with you. Reverend Ted Miller tells about an active woman in his church named Jeannie. She participated in just about every activity within her church, was well-loved, well-liked. However, Jeannie came down with cancer. As people in all churches and all walks of life do. We don't like to think about it, trying to avoid it sometimes. But it happens. She had an eye removed. She handled it well. It's like my brother's handling having his ear removed. She went back to church, did everything, involved again. But then her breast cancer came back with a vengeance. And this put her back in the chemotherapy, and it put her back at home in bed. And she withdrew from the congregation. She withdrew from her support. And she basically said, I don't really want anybody to visit me because I'm losing my hair, I don't look good, I've lost so much weight. And the congregation honored that. And a lot of them were glad because they didn't want to have to see her in this condition. They wanted to remember how she was, not how she was at that time. Hair gone, weak, feeble, laying in bed. But they decided, on Mother's Day, it was her birthday, the congregation decided to take a risk, and they called her daughter-in-law and said, we want to come over. Daughter-in-law said, okay, and they didn't tell Jeannie, and just about the whole church piled up in their cars, and they went over to her house Sunday, which was Mother's Day and her birthday. And most of the church paraded through the house and blew her a kiss or patted her on the hand. And then the remaining ones stood out on the front lawn and sang happy birthday to her. And for the next 6 weeks of her life, she was never alone again. Whenever she felt like having company, there was somebody coming to visit. My friends, sometimes it is you and I are the representative of Christ, reaching out our hand to lift up, to give that hope, to give that help, to give that encouragement. We don't need to hide away. Sometimes people might not want to deal with us, but we need to do what we can. The worst thing to lose in a time of a storm is your faith. The worst thing not to offer to someone is faith and assistance and help. The point is, Christ is able to deliver us from the storm. Christ can save us, as Paul wrote in Ephesians 3:20-21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Matthew concludes this passage by writing, when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. The moment he stepped into the boat. And those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. He calmed the storm. And maybe for some people, that's what it takes to realize that Jesus is Lord and Savior. To allow him to calm that storm in your life. To stop looking at the situation and start looking at Jesus. Start visualizing in your mind's eye that you're in that storm. It's okay to be in a storm. We're all in them. But visualize Jesus is reaching his hand out to you and you're reaching your hand out and he's taking you and he's lifting you out of that storm of a troubled marriage, a bad job, trouble with your children, trouble with a neighbor, financial debt, whatever it might be. Allow yourself to reach out to Jesus. Because my friends, he's already reaching out to you. May God bless you. Amen. Like I said, our closing hymn got changed on me, but it's a good song. What was it though? 281, The Bond of Love. That fits. As you prepare to leave this sanctuary where hopefully you feel safe and secure, and you go back out into the world, to places of employment, to school, your homes, your neighborhood, and to the world in general, where the storms of life do assail you, they do buffet against you, may you know that Jesus Christ is there with you. Claim that peace that passes all understanding through a relationship with Him. Reach out to Him through prayer, through Bible study, through worship. Never leave Him, and He is never, I promise, going to leave you. Go in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.